It's easy to hear your favorite artist on WFPK from wherever you are. Listen on your smart speaker, live stream from our website at WFPK.org from Louisville Public Media.
And you have a great face, don't worry.
Consequence Podcast Network.
Hey, Army and fellow music fans, I'm Kayla.
And I'm Bethany, and we're the hosts of Standing BTS from the Consequence Podcast Network. We're a bi-weekly show that covers the impact and legacy of K-pop group BTS.
We mix the perfect blend of research and fangirl as we take a deep dive into lyrics during album reviews, theorize over music videos, and keep up with their current events.
No BTS topic is off limits. We welcome everyone into the conversation, whether you're a casual fan, committed ARMY, or someone who's just curious about one of the biggest music groups in the world.
Come chat with us every other Thursday with a new episode wherever podcasts are found.
Welcome to the In Defense of Ska podcast.
There's a lot of like, okay, well, you like ska, name three bands that aren't the Boss Tones.
I'm your host, Aaron Carnes, music journalist and author of the book In Defense of Ska.
And I'm your co-host, Adam Davis, veteran ska musician from the bands Omnigon and Link 80.
On our show, we aim to push back on the mainstream's negative perception of ska music.
There are so many great untold stories throughout the history of ska. The show features interviews with everyone from the Mighty Mighty Boss Tones to Fishbone, Fall Out Boy singer Patrick Stump, and the Police drummer Stuart Copeland. Join us on In Defense of Ska from the Consequence Podcast Network.
Hey, and welcome to another edition of Kyle Meredith With. It's the interview series presented by WFPK at WFPK.org, Consequence, and the Consequence Podcast Network. Thanks, as always, for making your way here and checking out the series. I do hope you hit that subscribe button if you like what you see, what you hear. You subscribe, I will give you three brand new interviews every single week. New and every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday to keep you up to date on your favorite artists and discover those new ones. All the usual places, too. You can do it at Spotify, Apple Podcast, at NPR, WFPK.org, YouTube for the video versions, or anywhere you get your podcast from. Subscribe to Kyle Meredith With. In fact, some of my recent guests have included Gavin Rosdale of Bush, Art Alexakis of Everclear, Johnny Marr, Paul Rogers of Bad Company and Free. I had The Kills on, Boy Named Banjo, Japanese House, Brandon Flowers of The Killers, the producers behind Lessons in Chemistry on Apple TV+. Talked to Chris Shiflett from The Foo Fighters, Liz Phair, Sarah Silverman, Duff McKagan of Guns N' Roses, Felicia Day, Susan Tedeschi, Josh Radner from How I Met Your Mother, Kristen Hirsch of Throwing Muses, just an example of what you get when you subscribe to the Kyle Meredith With podcast. Again, that's me, Kyle Meredith. Today, it's a very special episode. Rufus Wainwright joining me once again. But this interview, we actually taped live in front of an audience right here in Louisville, Kentucky, at the speakeasy bar Heller High Water. Rufus, the very next day, performed with the Louisville Orchestra. And that's sort of what brought all this together. It's the 20th anniversary of his third and fourth album, Want, Parts 1 and 2. You might also just look at that as a double album of his third record. But it was a record that that sort of came orchestrated. And in this anniversary cycle, he's teamed up with some great orchestras, the Louisville Orchestra being one of them. So we get to kind of jump into it, learn about what was it that lent this particular album to the orchestral arrangement, why the album was always meant to, as he says, be played that way. As we look back on his that period in his career as an artist with three successful albums in a row at that point, he'll also dig into the operas that he's written. And in fact, he tells us about his history, having been a fan of opera since his teen years. He'll also consider why so many artists continue to make the same songs over and over. All the while, also trying to figure out why his daughter likes Taylor Swift's music so much. All that and more as we talk about the 20th anniversary of Want. It's Kyle Meredith with Rufus Wainwright.
Hello.
Welcome.
Thank you.
Again, it's not just that you're playing with the Louisville Orchestra and doing these orchestrated versions of Want, but it's also the 20th anniversary.
Yes, yeah. Recently, it's been the 20th anniversary of everything in my life of late. Want one and want two are the latest in that category. And I'm still celebrating it. I don't think there'll be that much more to celebrate in those until, you know, my, you know, wedding anniversary or something. But those were such big records, and they really did a lot for me, especially in Europe. And then it's great to be, you know, doing them again.
Yeah, it's interesting too because, you know, thinking back, how much those records have meant to people, and it happens with a lot of artists.
Yes.
Like, you know, we a lot of artists are held to those early records because, for whatever, the naivety it brings some kind of magic.
Yeah.
And I don't know if you think of even yourself, like, you know, how much you knew and you didn't know, but I mean,
yeah.
Basic question, like, when you think back to that, what do those albums mean to you now? What do they represent?
Well, what I'm most proud of in terms of that whole period is that I did kind of the 1-2-3 punch, which is not common in the sense that, you know, my first album came out, Rufus Wainwright, and like many first albums of note, it was good, but for the reason, mainly for the reason though, that I'd had, you know, 17 years to kind of write songs in my teenagehood and, you know, growing up in general, and so it was imbued with just that sort of burst of becoming an adult or becoming out of childhood. So that happened, and then the second album, any recording artist can attest to this, is kind of the most important album because that's sort of like the bellwether. You know, it can go either way, and. And oftentimes that's when the, you know, it's over. So I made Poses and it's really accepted as sort of a kind of a departure from my first, and sort of it really pointed towards a more kind of mysterious, kind of decadent journey than like this kind of bright-eyed opera-loving dandy from Canada. So it got more darker and stuff, and that worked. That worked really well. And then the third one, which I think people are given sort of slack for their third record often. Yeah, you're like, okay, maybe the third one won't be quite as good. But if your third one's really great, which want for me was... The Want Records, and there's only, it's the third and the fourth. Of course, I had to, you know, rub it in. And it was just suddenly became this whole other three-dimensional thing, in the sense, like, I had the boyhood, and then I had the sort of decadent, you know, and being kind of a roué or whatever. Boulevardier kind of person. And then the third one was about me actually becoming a man and becoming, you know, kind of conquering a lot of fundamental demons and dealing with these kind of big issues. So I think it really kind of cemented my early career as this, as really showing me as someone who, you know, was around for a while, will be around for a while. Yeah. And I'm still here.
You should applaud for that. It's not the easiest thing to stick around for as a musician.
No, yeah. No. I mean, I live in L.A., and it is, I have to say that definitely of late, and, you know, I've been doing a lot of work in the classical world over the years. I've written a couple of operas, and I'm actually composing a Requiem at the moment, which was premiering in Paris with the L'Orchestre Radio France, and will also be with the L.A. Master Chorale. So I'm very... involved in that world, but I still live in LA. I still live in, you know, the belly of the beast, and I'm prone to definitely fall into that whole cycle and try to, you know, chase that carrot and stuff, and it's horrifying. The music business, especially now, because it's just become so kind of vapid and predictable and the songs themselves are really kind of at the bottom of the equation. So yeah, but I'm still there. We'll see. But it's been wonderful. All I'm saying is it's been wonderful to be. I feel so fortunate that I'm able to go sing with orchestras, and both do my own, you know, pop material and do new pieces that I compose. It's been. I feel very fortunate that I've been able to escape the music business occasionally.
And we'll be right back right after this.
There are some things you wouldn't mind being stuck with, like a large unexpected inheritance. An always-on-the-verge-of-death phone that has to be plugged in just right so it charges is not one of those things. Switch to Verizon and we'll pay off your old phone, up to $800 via prepaid MasterCard, so you can get a new one. Just trade in any phone from our top brands on any unlimited plan. With new line on my plan, additional terms apply for trade-in and pay off your phone offer. See Verizon.com for details.
Welcome back. It's Kyle Meredith with Rufus Wainwright.
It's one of the most fascinating things about looking at your career, too, because the operas, Requiem, Folkocracy,
yes,
which is your latest record.
Yeah.
I mean, do you look at yourself as an explorer of genre, or is this just like the ultimate flex?
I just love a great melody, you know, I also like to constantly challenge myself and feel that it's important as an artist in general to do that. I mean, I won't name any names, but we all know that there are a whole bunch of really incredible artists who kind of just sort of put out the same thing over and over again still, and that's great, and I'm really jealous, and they make so much money off of it, and it's all so it's fine. So I, not having been able to kind of crack that code, that kind of mediocre code, I've chosen to challenge myself and, you know, torture me.
And we benefit. So
yes,
thanks
and you
for
benefit
the torture
from That's, my sacrifice.
So again, you're going to be playing these with the Louisville Orchestra.
Yes.
And you've done some orchestrations before.
Yes.
Is there something about this record? I mean, sure, it's the anniversary, but is there something about this album that kind of lends itself to that?
No, definitely. I mean, there's an argument that the show that I'm doing now is really how this album should be performed. Because it's, even though Marius DeVries, who is a great producer who I worked with on the original album, and with great musicians, including Matt Johnson, who will be playing with us on drums tomorrow, Spooky Ghost, all these kinds of people. It was the first time, after working with two incredibly talented producers who were kind of awful people, who've always made me feel bad. But they were great producers. That's John Bryan and Pierre Marchand, but they always made me feel really bad about me wanting to kind of be this sort of very very Baroque kind of grand kind of musically big person and. And then finally, with Marius DeVries, he thought it was so fantastic, and he would just sit there and like lay it on me, you know. And to be fair to the two awful guys before him, it was good for me to have a lot of that strife, you know, to go through a lot of those battles. And they were probably right in certain cases, you know, in terms of editing my flamboyance occasionally. But by the time I got to Marius, he was so excited to just, partake in this, you know, vision that I had, which was essentially orchestral with the songs and how I wanted them presented. So it's amazing to do it with an orchestra finally.
Yes, it does. It, I mean, some artists, Bob Dylan, you'll write 60 versions of one song. I mean, does it allow you to kind of go back and reimagine some of these, or is it just to build it? Like, what is it? What is the vision?
Well, the vision, maybe the vision with both albums, that the first is sort of a male version of myself, and the second album is a female version, in the sense that it's the light and the dark. Before I went into the studio to record these albums, but before then I'd had a real battle with drugs and alcohol. I went to rehab and stuff, and I wrote a lot of the songs, you know, during that before and during that whole debacle. But then once I got into the studio, I was pretty clear and was able to sort of just, you know, focus fully on the music. And so the first album, Want One, I think, is more the sort of valiant knight who is, you know, trying to defeat the dragon and so forth. And so it's very bright and positive. The second one is sort of, on the cover, I'm dressed as the Lady of Shalott. So I'm a little, it's more the sort of remaining mystery and sort of untamed spirit that that is with, you know, everyone, even though they think it isn't.
And we'll be right back right after this. Welcome back. It's Kyle Meredith with Rufus Wainwright.
Like I'm reading about. Do I say Hadrian?
Yes, Hadrian. Yes,
and that's the next opera.
That's finished. Yeah, Hadrian is composed.
But hearing it, like even about like the storylines that, you know, coming off of reading about that, and like, yeah, like where did that one come? Because you get to kind of lean into the stuff you're talking about. It sounds like a little bit more too.
Just in terms of
this, like, historical.
Yeah. Well, I've always been. Look, I became a huge opera fan when I was about 13. And I have a 13-year-old daughter now, and I, she's amazing. Her name is Viva. She's incredible. She's a wonderful person, and I couldn't be happier. I am struck, though, by how weird I was at that age. Like, I was listening to Verdi's Requiem and, you know, Wagner and stuff. So I was a very unusual child, and sometimes I have to sort of check myself and realize that I, you know, can't expect her to be doing that as well. Though she's not averse to it. She is interested in it. She's like, I like listening to it. I hate going to the opera. But it's so it's so yeah. So I developed this intense passion for opera, which has remained over the years. And thankfully, I was able to put it into my songwriting in a kind of way that really set me apart at the time from other, you know, up and coming artists.
Like I heard the version of He Loved, and just knowing,
yes,
like it's so incredible. And I do mean this; it's so incredible how you can take something meant for one thing, like an opera,
yes,
and like, oh, now we can make it a folk
song.
Yeah,
yeah. I do transfer, you know, some of the. Look, I just want it to be effective and moving. I think moving is the main thing. I mean, it's very interesting. My daughter's, she's really into Taylor Swift right now, and so I've really been going through the education of that, and you know, and it's fascinating because it isn't. You know, look, I want to remain open-minded, and I actually think it's very impressive what she does, and there's a lot of stuff that I could never even dream of accomplishing. But on the way to school, it's like a constant thing, and there's songs, certain songs I like better than others. But then when I drive back home after dropping Viva at school, I put on the Met Opera Channel, and. And the other day I did that, and they were playing Pagliacci, which is, you know, kind of, you know, it's a great opera, but it's one of the more sort of, you know, it's a little bit schmaltzy. It's sort of, it's super kind of lowbrow in a way, but the music's great. But then when they do that aria, Vesti la Giubba, I was like in tears, you know, in the car. And it is, you know, I like stuff that makes you cry and moan and you know, shake, and
some Taylor fans would, you know, say the same thing.
Yeah.
Right,
I guess so. Sure. I guess so. It hasn't happened for me yet with Taylor, but I'm not saying it won't. I'm open to it.
Sure. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. I certainly appreciate what you do.
Oh, thank you.
And we love your music so much.
Thank you.
And I know I share that sentiment with everybody in the room here. Rufus Wainwright, thank you so much.
Thank you.
And my thanks to Rufus Wainwright. He has a new record out, which we didn't get to talk much about there, but it's called Folkocracy. I definitely recommend checking that out. And, of course, the 20th anniversary of Want. So thanks to Rufus. Thanks to you for checking out the episode. Again, I do hope you hit that subscribe button while you're hanging around. That way you can get all the interviews that we put out, 3 brand new ones every single week, new one every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, at all the usual places, including Spotify and Apple Podcast, at NPR, WFPK.org, YouTube for the video versions, or anywhere you get your podcast from. Again, you can subscribe to Kyle Meredith With. Then after that, head over to WFPK.org, where I do a show Monday through Friday, starting at 6 p.m. Eastern. It's 4 hours of classics from the 70s, 80s, and 90s. You get the best in new music, bonus interviews, lots of music news. One of my recent shows featured the music of Ann Peebles, Wilson Pickett, Stevie Wonder, The Pixies, Vampire Weekend, Juliana Hatfield, Dave Matthews Band, Fleetwood Mac, Tom Waits, Lucinda Williams, Simon and Garfunkel, Blur, The Black Keys, Boy Genius, Ani DiFranco, The Cure, Sex Pistols, Johnny Marr, and my interview with The Breeders. Again, just an example of what you get every weeknight starting at 6 p.m. Eastern at WFPK.org. Consequence has your music and film news. You can also find me on the old social media sites. In fact, the address is always the same, at Kyle Meredith. So I do hope you like and follow along. And that does it for another edition. I'm Kyle Meredith, and I'll see you next time.
There are some things you wouldn't mind being stuck with, like a large unexpected inheritance. An always-on-the-verge-of-death phone that has to be plugged in just right so it charges is not one of those things. Switch to Verizon and we'll pay off your old phone. Up to $800 via prepaid MasterCard so you can get a new one. Just trade in any phone from our top brands on any unlimited plan. With new line on my plan. Additional terms apply for trade-in and pay off your phone offer. See Verizon.com for details.
Save big money on your next upgrade now at Menards. Some things never go out of style, like tile from Mohawk. You can count on the durability, easy maintenance, and timeless beauty of tile. With over 350 ceramic, porcelain, mosaic, and glass tiles to choose from, Mohawk Tile provides long-lasting charm in any space. Visit the store and Menards.com to see all of our great deals going on in our weekly flyer.
Save big money at Menards.
Consequence Podcast Network.
It's easy to hear your favorite artist on WFPK from wherever you are. Listen on your smart speaker, live stream from our website at WFPK.org from Louisville Public Media.